Give yourself some love with our self-care programs at hrnradio.com.
Green blessings. This is Susan Weed, the voice of the Wise Woman tradition and the author of the Wise Woman Herbal series, including my brand new book, Abundantly Well, Seven Medicines, The Wise Woman Way. Welcome. Thanks for tuning into HealthyLife.net for an hour of green blessings from the green heart of Susan Weed to you. I read more than 100 periodicals every month, from the strictly scientific all the way out to the edgy fringes, looking for the best, most reliable, most inclusive, and most up-to-date health information just for you, so you can maintain and regain optimum, joyous, abundant health. Join me here each and every month for wise advice on herbs and health, with a special emphasis on women. Together, we will reweave the healing cloak of the ancients and reclaim herbal medicine as people's medicine. This is the last month of 2019, a year that we devoted to fruit. From apple to kiwi, banana to goji, we have gone around the world looking at not only the most delicious but the most medicinal fruits to help us be abundantly well. Last month, we opened up the treasure chest of berries, and this month, we will continue with goji, rosehip, hawthorn, sumac, acai, sea buckthorn, mulberry, amla, gooseberry, currant, barberry, raspberry, blackberry. There are so many berries to talk about. And next month, we will start a new series on the nutrient-dense, nourishing herbal infusions. 2020 is devoted to one of the best ideas I've ever had, nutrient-dense, nourishing herbal infusions. Whether you're a confirmed infusion drinker or a curious or even dubious beginner, 2020 will amaze, delight, and inform you. Throw away your supplements. They don't work. Save on doctor bills. All you have to do is drink delicious, nourishing herbal infusions. Now, that will be next month for tonight. And this month, let's see what's in the news. You knew it, but isn't it nice to quantify it? States that have medical marijuana laws in place say that the average doctor prescribes 265 fewer doses of antidepressant, 486 fewer doses of seizure medication, 541 fewer anti-nausea drugs, and 562 fewer doses of anti-anxiety medication, and 1,826 fewer doses of painkillers in a given year. Let's hear it for cannabis. Does it work? Does it get you off drugs? It sure does. To return to fruit, a new study has found that while fresh orange juice contains the highest concentration of carotenoids, freezing the orange juice gets those carotenoids absorbed into your body. You just can't get it from the raw orange or the raw juice. Pasteurizing the juice, however, does make those carotenoids more difficult for your body to absorb. So if you can get frozen, unpasteurized orange juice, or make your own, freeze it and thaw it and drink it. I know it seems really backward, doesn't it? But our ancestors devised ways to cook and freeze and to prepare food. So we're going to be talking about berries. And throughout most of North America, berry picking was considered to be women's work. And women made pemmican from berries, bone marrow, and meat. Or in the Northwest, they would make it from berries, smoked salmon, and fish oil. Amazing. Berries have four times more antioxidants than other fruits, 10 times more antioxidants than vegetables, and 40 times more antioxidants than cereal crops. Oh, that's so good, but microplastics is not so good. When you sip a cup of gourmet tea, you're swallowing billions of plastic particles. That's the finding from researchers at Canada's McGill University, who looked at the silken tea bags that are now used by premium brands. Unlike traditional paper tea bags, silken tea bags are made of plastic. They are pyramid shaped. That's how you can know that. So they give the tea leaves more room to expand, but when they're steeped in hot water, they quickly break down. A single silken tea bag releases about 11.5 billion microplastic and 3.1 billion nanoplastic particles. That's 13 to 16 micrograms of plastic per cup. It's thousands of times higher than the microplastic content of any other food. Table Salt, which has very high concentrations of microplastic, says 0.005 micrograms per gram. Oh, my gosh. I'll be right back.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Been a year devoted to fruit, and I saved the best for last. If you, like many Americans, have a hard time eating your fruit, what do I mean by many Americans? 88% of Americans do not eat a cup of fruit a day. 88% of Americans don't eat a cup of fruit a day. They could be half a cup of applesauce and half a cup of berries. Berries are easy to eat. Berries are easy to add to other foods. Berries are the way to go. Here is a wonderful article from Consumer Reports on Health called The Best Fruit for Your Health. Many people are afraid to eat fruit because they fear that it's high in sugar. Here's what fruit can give you. And I think it's a good article because it reiterates the things that we have been looking at all year long. First of all, fruit is high in antioxidants, and antioxidants protect your cells from damage. Damage by free radicals. Free radicals cause stroke, heart disease, cancer, and a variety of other things. And especially those red and purple berries are going to give you the biggest antioxidant bang for your buck. And they'll not only give you the biggest bang, they'll give you the thinnest waistline. People who got the most anthocyanins from berries were less likely to gain weight over a 25-year period than the people who were not getting those. Let's hear it for boosting antioxidants. Raise your potassium. One of the themes this year has been that fruit in and of itself is not particularly nourishing. We're not going to get macronutrients from fruits. We're going to get antioxidants, and the closest that we'll get to a macronutrient, which is like really a micronutrient, is potassium. Potassium is kind of lacking in the American diet, and it's really important for good functioning of the nerves and the muscles, and that includes your heart. Whoa! Potassium also helps offset the negative effect of sodium, and people who eat preserved foods are getting way too much sodium. Fruit is generally fairly rich in potassium. Bananas, cantaloupe, and peaches being the highest. Yay for fruit and potassium. And if I were to ask you what's the most important thing that you can get from fruit, if you said fiber, I would be a happy teacher. I would say, you got it. You listened up. Fiber, that's it. It doesn't really matter that we're not getting much nutrients from the fruits, because what we're getting from the fruits is fiber. Fiber, as you recall, is the single most important thing for heart health. It reduces the risk for heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and even certain cancers. Fiber is so important. Only about 5% of Americans are getting the 30 grams of fiber per day that they need, and fruit is loaded with fiber. So, and one of the great things that that fiber does is that it helps stabilize blood sugar. I've heard a lot of people who are worried about diabetes, who actually have type 2 diabetes, say, I can't eat fruit, it has sugar in it. But an analysis of 23 studies found that people who ate fruit, especially berries, had a significantly lower risk of being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And a more recent study showed that eating fruit reduces diabetes risk by 12% for people who have type 2 diabetes. Eating berries three times a week reduce their risk of diabetic complications by one-third. Wow. Sugars are carbohydrates, and some fruits are higher in carbohydrates carbohydrates than others, but again, that does not mean that those are the same kind of carbohydrates that are found in refined products that do not have fiber. The fiber is going to help control the blood sugar. What are we getting from fruit? We're getting antioxidants. We're getting potassium. We're getting fiber. That fiber is helping to control our blood sugar. And all of these things together are going to help protect us against the diseases of modern life. We've just mentioned them: stroke, type 2 diabetes, heart attack, cancer. Every single one of the fruits that we have talked about this year has an impact on those. So let's hear it for the fruits, and let's eat more berries. What kind of berries should we eat? Well, here's a list of a few of the berries that are fairly common and available to eat. Acai berries, native to South American rainforest. There's a problem there. Fresh acai berries are not available. And so usually when you're getting something with acai berry, it's not the acai berry, it's a powder. And as we'll see, the studies find that the powder really hardly ever does what the actual fruit is said to do. There is no protein in acai berry. There's a little bit of fat. There's a tiny amount of vitamin A, but like all fruits, whether the acai is fresh or powdered, we're getting very little nutrition from it. And the author of several articles on acai said that the slimy marketing behind acai, such as a $50 acai liver cleanse, is very off-putting, and I agree. One author said, you know, your body already has a perfectly capable detoxification system. It's called your liver. Mm-hmm. Hooray, acai berry, but overhyped and probably has no place in your diet. Blackberry, yay, blackberry. Blackberries are, I was shocked, very rich in calories. And I was in the Pacific Northwest and cramming my face with blackberries and only afterwards going in the house and saying, oh, my goodness, really, a cup of blackberries is 62 calories. I know, it doesn't seem like that much, does it, especially when a cup of other things is a lot more. But for fruit, that's pretty high. Black raspberries are 70, and blueberries are 84. So as we get into the berries, we are getting a few more calories there, but that's okay because we're getting so much fiber, so much potassium, and blackberries are exceptionally rich in manganese, a very important mineral. They also are a fabulous source of vitamin K. Let's hear it for blackberries. No wonder I wanted to stuff my face. Black raspberries look like blackberries, but they're actually raspberries that are black. How do you tell the difference? A blackberry has a solid inside, and a raspberry is more like a thimble. It's hollow inside. Blackberry leaves are green on the backside, and raspberry leaves are whitish on the backside. They use different medicinally, and they're different fruits, although they're somewhat the same. Wild blackberries are, of course, 5 times higher in polyphenols than the cultivated ones, but they are called cane fruits, and there's a huge number of cane fruits that are cultivated, including blackberries, black raspberries, cloudberries, which really do look like little yellow clouds, lingonberries, which is a an interesting kind of raspberry, loganberries, which is a cross between a raspberry and a blackberry, which happened accidentally, and salmonberries, which are raspberries with an orange color, and tayberries, which are a cultivated cross between raspberries and blackberries, like loganberries, but tayberries are exceptionally large and exceptionally sweet. And then here where I live, there are wineberries, and they are the best raspberries that I have ever tasted in my life. Lots of vitamin C, lots of fiber in all of those cane fruit berries. Such wonderful, wonderful fruits to have. And get them frozen. Remember that frozen fruit is going to have been picked at the height of its vitamin content, whereas the ship fruit has to have been picked green, and it can never have the same amount of vitamins in it. And the freezing actually changes the cellular structure of the fruit to make it far easier for your body to get the nutrition from that fruit. Ooh-hoo-hoo. Aronia berries is the new name for choke cherries. I guess people didn't like the name choke cherry. But if you've ever tasted a choke cherry before it's been frosted, you'll know why it was called that. They are so astringent. They have so much tannin in them that you put one in your mouth and you can hardly speak for the next 10 minutes. It just dries up your mouth. That's the choke cherry. Once they have been frosted and cooked a little, then we could, in fact, call them aronia berries. And they are primarily at this point being sold, again, as a powder. Aronia or choke cherry is probably one of the healthiest berries going, but it is not very tasty. As with many of the wild berries, there are more bitter compounds in them. What did we say, right? But the tay berry was specifically bred to be sweeter. This is the general movement of the cultivation of food is make it sweeter, make it sweeter, make it sweeter. Various studies show that the polyphenols in choke cherries strengthen the immune system and are very powerful in terms of their anti-inflammatory mechanism. They are especially protective against oxidative damage during intense exposure to radiation. Elderberries, oh, hooray, elderberries. We have talked at length about elderberries here on Healthy Life. And especially as we are in the cold and flu season, it is very important to remember that elderberries contain those anthocyanins, which are antioxidants, which help really get your immune system going, and they have a traditional use as an antiviral, and study after study after study has found that elderberry actually does directly counter the flu, even H1N1. Elderberries are absolutely amazing. Gooseberries. Have you ever had a gooseberry? Now, hey, I'm actually more comfortable with choke cherry than I am with gooseberry because it brings up a rather ribald image to my mind of being goosed with a berry, but that's okay. They're kind of sour and tart berries that are grown in gardens all over the world, but especially in Europe. And they are related to currants. Gooseberries, red currants, and black currants are very high antioxidant fruits that are extremely easy to grow. I wanted to grow some when I first started gardening as a homesteader, but the state that I lived in, New York State, would not allow me to do that because they were a secondary host to a rust that got into apple trees, and so they wouldn't let us grow those. That problem has been taken care of, and so I am hoping to be able to grow some. And I know that one of the largest producers of black currants in the U.S. is actually right here in New York State. And, of course, black currants are black, loaded with anthocyanins. They're black fruit. Wow. Right? People go on and on about acai. I say black currants, and you can get them right here, and you can get them fresh grown and freeze them or buy them already frozen. Again, it may seem easier to take these small fruits as a powder or as a syrup, but the studies just show that they just don't do as much. Why not? One of the things we started with, and that is one of the things we really want from this fruit, is fiber. And the fiber is going to hold that fruit in your body for long enough for your body to pull the nutrients out of it. Mulberries, red mulberries and white mulberries. Now, hey, I like sweets just like anybody else, and the white berries. White mulberries are so much sweeter. My daughter has a red mulberry tree and a white mulberry tree, and I like them both, but I'm really drawn to the white mulberry. I didn't realize that it's actually from China, and then it's kind of pushing out the red mulberries. Chassandra berries, amla berries, rose hips, and barberries. That is 27 different berries that you have access to. The easiest fruit of all to eat. Protect your mind and your memory. Think of all of the berries as adaptogens. Chassandra is an adaptogen. Amla is an adaptogen, and goji berries are an adaptogen. So we are going to come back and we are going to look at some adaptogenic berries in more detail.
Radio Your Way, HealthyLife.net.
Let's look at some adaptogenic berries. I would say that by my definition, all berries are adaptogens. Remember that an adaptogen is something that can't hurt you no matter how much of it you take. And that's certainly true of the berries. Remember that an adaptogen is something that normalizes function. In other words, it doesn't push function. It's not drug-like, and that's certainly true of berries. Another part of the definition of an adaptogen is that it increases all of your physical measures of health. It increases your endurance. It increases your oxygen capacity. It increases your lifespan. It increases your sexual interest. It decreases your blood pressure. All of those are the natural effects of antioxidants, and those are also, as we've seen, the natural effects of berries. So let's look at some of the berries that worldwide have been considered some of the best adaptogenic berries and ones that you might want to bring into your life. We have now moved beyond the kind of berries that you're going to find at your local supermarket, and we're looking at the kind of berries that you would probably find either dried or made as a tincture at a health food store or an herbal shop. Now, let me take just one moment here to draw a big distinction between the kind of dried berry that you would find at a place that sells herb and the kind of dried berry that you would find at a supermarket, because there are dried berries at supermarkets. And the dried berries at supermarkets are almost across the board sweetened with refined sugars and coated with some kind of not particularly healthy oil. So dried cranberries and dried cherries that you would get at the supermarket would not be particularly healthy or particularly medicinal. The frozen berries from the supermarket are going to be your number one top pick. And if you can't get those, getting fresh ones and freezing them yourself would be the way to go. But when you go into a health food store or an herb shop, the dried berries you're going to get are simply dried. That's it. Nothing has been added to it. They're not supposed to taste sweet, so nobody's going to add sugar to them. They're not supposed to be plump and delicious looking, so nobody's going to put vegetable oil on them to make them look that way. If you go out and you buy goji berries or hawthorn berries or schisandra berries or sumac berries from a place that is selling herbs, you are going to get just that berry. And that's what we're talking about. Those dried berries can be used to make tinctures, or you can buy them already tinctures. They can be used to make teas, and they can be used to make infusions. And those are the ways that we are primarily going to be using those berries. One of my favorites is hawthorn. Hawthorn for the aging heart. I said on Healthy Life more than a decade ago, on a show devoted entirely to hawthorn and its tremendous ability to keep the heart pumping well, to moderate blood pressure, and to help us live for a long time. I heard myself say that, and I said to myself, hawthorn for the aging heart, did you hear that? Guess what? You're over 60 and approaching 65. You should start taking hawthorn, and I have been. I have been taking hawthorn daily for that entire 10 years. Again, remember, it's an adaptogen. There's no overdose. Hawthorn is actually in the apple family, and the hawthorn berries are the equivalent of eating cherries or apples. We simply can't hurt ourselves with them. Hawthorn teaches the heart cells how to function optimally. Hawthorn shows the heart how to make the most of whatever is available to it. Hawthorn guards the heart. It eases stressed hearts. It speeds recovery from heart attacks, bypass surgery, and stent placement. It wards off heart weakness following pneumonia or diphtheria. Hawthorn contains the original message for the cells of the heart. You know what I mean. You've played that game, telephone, right? Where you whisper a message to somebody, and by the time it gets to the other end of the line, it's very distorted. As cells replicate, I think that something like that happens, and that there are herbs that contain the original message, and hawthorn is one of them. It restores the original message to the heart cells, so they become more efficient, more effective, and more capable, especially under stress. And that's also part of the definition of an adaptogen. It helps us to tolerate stress more and to be able to function more effectively, efficiently, and capably under stress. Hawthorn is a cardiotonic. You want to keep your heart healthy? Hawthorn will do it. It has a direct but not speedy effect on the heart muscle. the benefit is going to be most noticeable in those who have damage to the heart. In other words, I can't say to you that by taking Hawthorne for the past 10 years that I've noticed any difference at all. I felt good. My heart felt good. I continue to feel good. My heart continues to feel good. And for me, that is an absolute plus. Regular use of Hawthorne helps prevent coronary artery disease and reduces angina pain in people who already have coronary artery disease. People with reduced cardiac output show a marked improvement in heart function generally within a couple of weeks of using Hawthorne. And those who have normal cardiac output simply feel stronger and more centered. Hawthorne can lower high blood pressure and raise low blood pressure. It is especially indicated when there's feelings of oppression or congestion in the chest. Hawthorne helps the blood vessels to relax and dilate, and this effect is especially pronounced on the blood vessels that directly serve the heart. The Commission E of Germany has confirmed that Hawthorne eliminates mild bradyarrhythmias, counters cardiac insufficiency, relieves feeling of pressure and tightness in the chest, and supports the aging heart by increasing the strength of the heartbeat, decreasing rapid heartbeat, increasing the overall health of the heart, increasing coronary and myocardial circulation, increasing the rate of blood flow through the heart, stabilizing the rate of the heartbeat, and dilating the coronary arteries. Wow. Hawthorne loves linden and passiflora, so if you don't feel that the Hawthorne is working fast enough or giving you enough oomph for what you want, consider using some passiflora or some linden with it. Hawthorne has effects that are gentle, pervasive, insistent, cumulative, and sustainable. No toxicity ever reported, no habituation, and no lessening of the effect over time. Hooray for Hawthorne, Cretaceous species. Yes, the leaves and flowers are sometimes used, but we're looking at berries tonight, and that's my favorite part of the Hawthorne, is the Hawthorne berry. Did you know that the sea buckthorn has a berry, and that studies are showing that sea buckthorn berries blended with corn oil can actually soothe and lessen psoriasis? This is pretty amazing. Sea buckthorn is a fruiting shrub that's native to northern Europe and Asia and has been used as a folk remedy for centuries. There's over 190 medicinal compounds in it, some of which are found in green tea. And a study just published found that the antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, and anti-cancer effects are joined by antibacterial and anti-hypertensive properties as well. Wow, 51% of the people with psoriasis find that regular medicine doesn't work. Sea buckthorn might. I'll be right back with more about berries.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Shisandra is a lovely name for a lovely plant. It is one of the 50 fundamental herbs in the Chinese pharmacopoeia. An ancient Chinese herbalist said that Shisandra was in the first class of herbs. It is Wuweiji, literally the five-flavor berry, or Gomishi in Japan, Limonic in Russia, and it is used through all of these areas in lots of different ways. It really does have five flavors. When you first taste it, it's kind of sour, and then it's a little bit sweet. And then you say, golly, I think it's bitter. And then there's a little spicy to it, and it's astringent as well. It's just an amazing taste, and it just opens up like a book opening up to incredible visions. The five flavors of the Shisandra benefit the five yin organs, which is the liver, the kidneys, the heart, the lungs, and the spleen. I'm growing a Shisandra vine. It's a hardy perennial vine, and it grows in really cold areas in Russia and up into Siberia, and I thought, wow, it'll do great for me. And so it has, and this year it produced a huge number of Shisandra berries. The word shizen is the Greek, which means to cleave, and andros is man. And this refers to the sexual apparatus of the Schisandra flower, which looks like a little cloven man, and thus it is Schisandra. There are lignans in the seeds of the Schisandra, and of course it's the berry and the seed that is used as a tea, as a tincture, as an infusion, as a vinegar, as a powder. But again, remembering that the powders of these berries are never going to be as good. What's really amazing is that knowing that the powders are not as good, many of the scientific studies nonetheless use them. And so when you read a scientific study and it says, well, they took the powder of this berry and they got this result, you think, whoa. And just imagine the result they could have gotten if they had actually eaten the berry brewed as a tincture or made as an infusion or if it was a fresh berry frozen. Schisandra fruit is generally considered safe, but it can cause heartburn in people who have very deep heat. And what the Chinese would call true heat. It is also a stimulant of the central nervous system, and thus midwives are a little iffy about it for women who have a tendency to miscarry. It is also considered unsafe to use a Schisandra with acetaminophen, according to herbalist Matthew Alf. Schisandra is an adaptogen. It protects the liver. It helps the liver regenerate. It helps the liver produce bile. It prevents ulcers in the stomach and the intestines. It heals ulcers in the stomach and the intestines. It's antiviral. It's antibacterial. It's anti-tumor. It's astringent and nourishing and calming and moistening. It protects the nervous system. It's an antioxidant. It's a tonic to the heart. It suppresses coughs. It's an expectorant. And it's a radioprotective of the fetoplacental system of pregnant women. So some midwives are nervous about it because of its central nervous system mild stimulation, and other midwives say there is more than enough good in Schisandra, that faint possibility there, which certainly is not tearing down the medical literature. In fact, I could find not a single miscarriage ascribed to the use of Schisandra is overcome by the great stuff that it does. Schisandra is a more effective antioxidant than vitamin E. It is a classic adaptogen, improving the functioning of the central nervous system, the sympathetic nervous system, the endocrine system, the immune system, respiratory system, cardiovascular system, and gastrointestinal system. As with all adaptogens, regular use of Schisandra enhances longevity and prevents chronic disease. Schisandra is said to be an herb that normalizes the body's acid-alkaline balance. It increases our physical working capacity and affords a stress protective effect against a broad spectrum of harmful factors, including heat shock, burns, frostbite, swimming under a load in an atmosphere with decreased air pressure, aseptic inflammation, irradiation, toxic chemicals, and heavy metals. Schisandra promotes humoral and cell-mediated immune responses. It calms the spirit and refreshes the heart and promotes cheerfulness. It protects against all emotional stress. It aids the kidneys. It protects against influenza epidemics and protects exceptionally well against colds. It combats physical exhaustion and fatigue, normalizes blood pressure, improves the performance of the brain, increases the accuracy of fine motor control, builds strength, increases endurance, improves reflexes, improves vision, especially myopia in children, protects DNA from damage under a wide range of stressful conditions, including radiation. It is synergistic with chemotherapy, and what that means is that if a tincture of Schisandra is taken along with the chemotherapy, it helps to guide the chemotherapy to the cancer cells while at the same time protecting normal cells from damage from that chemotherapy. Schisandra inhibits multi-drug resistance in cancer cells. Sometimes people could possibly be cured of a cancer, but their cancer cells have become resistant to that drug. Schisandra turns that around. Schisandra restores strength to the thymus. It counters aflatoxin poisoning, aflatoxins in peanuts sometimes. It's effective against overdoses of cadmium and mercury. It is highly effective against a wide wide range of chemicals and drugs, according to Donnie Yance. It can stimulate rhythmic contraction of the uterine smooth muscle in susceptible women. But again, I don't know of any midwife who uses it to induce a labor. It improves night vision, reduces hunger, thirst, and exhaustion. It gives us the force to follow the animal all day without eating, says a native hunter of an area where Shisandra grows. It speeds wound healing. It protects the brain. It helps the chi of the lungs and the kidneys. And Shisandra, for all of these reasons and more, is staggeringly popular throughout Asia and Russia, where it is known as the quintessence of herbs. It is the only herb known that tonifies all three of the three treasures, Jing, Qi, and Shen. Jing is your primary essence. It determines your lifespan, strength, and vitality. Qi is your life force, as in Tai Chi or Qi Kung. And Shen is your consciousness and emotional energy. Shisandra is the only herb that enters all 12 of the meridian systems to nourish every single organ in the body. It is the only herb that simultaneously tonifies all five elements, wood, water, fire, earth, and metal, and it has been used for at least the past 5,000 years. Maybe Shisandra has a place in your life, too. I'll be right back.
Timeless information for your self-care and health. HRNradio.com.
So many berries, so little time. I'd like to talk to you about a berry that grows around me. It's actually a berry that grows in a great many places in the world, and it is the berry of sumac. There's actually about 35 different species of sumac, and they grow in subtropical and temperate regions throughout the world, especially Asia, Africa, and North America. The word sumac means red, and sumac berries are red, red, red. It is sometimes called Persian red spice or lemon spice, and it is widely used as a condiment in cooking. Sumac fish is a popular dish throughout the Mideast, grilled fish, which has been marinated in sumac powder. Sumac powder is a key ingredient in much of Persian cooking. It blends with vegetables, meats, chickens, and fish. It's a souring agent for fattoush salad and hummus dips. Sumac is added to rice and kebabs. In fact, kebabs are considered incomplete without sumac. Throughout Jordan and Lebanon and all of those areas, if you're going to cook, you better have the sumac right at hand. It is widely and erroneously stated to be very rich in vitamin C, but in fact, sumac berries have a lot of other acids, but not much ascorbic acid. They have malic acid, gallic acid, citric acid, fumaric acid, and yes, a little bit of ascorbic acid. There are two sumacs that grow around me, the smooth sumac and the staghorn sumac, which is kind of fuzzy. People always say to me, what about the poison sumac? And I say, you know, I've never seen poison sumac, and I go to a lot of places and look at plants and a lot of plants, and I have yet to ever see poison sumac. I know it does grow in places, but I'm told that you are in water if you're seeing poison sumac, and it has white berries that hang down, whereas the edible sumacs have red berries that point up. Wow. Decoction of sumac berries has been used to treat diabetes, constipation, to cool people off, to prevent bedwetting, to help other bladder disorders, to calm coughs, to calm asthma, to relieve fevers, to prevent diabetes, to cure ulcers, to deal with pain. The sumac flowers have been used. Infusions of sumac leaves have been used. The sumac bark and the roots have also been used. The sumac berries have strong antioxidant properties. This is a wild berry. All of the things we've been saying about the berries go double, triple, quadruple for the wild berries. And because of that, they are bitterer. It's sometimes those bitter compounds. Ewell Gibbons loved to make sumac aid. As a matter of fact, he loved it so much that he got an old washing machine and fitted it out to make sumac aid. And he would harvest the red berries, and they come in like a big hands of dense spikes, kind of the shape of an elongated pine cone and about as big as your hand, which is broken off, and he would just drop those in his washing machine, push, you know, wash. Cold water would come in, it would agitate, and then drain it off. You don't want to use hot water because you will extract the bitter compounds and you won't be able to drink the resulting sumacate. And you don't want to let it sit for a long time. In fact, those acids, those malic acid, gallic acid, all those wonderful, very health-promoting acids in the sumac are so strong in the sumac that I find that what I do is I take two or three or four, depending on how big they are, put them in a half-gallon jar, fill it with cold water, let it sit for a few hours, and then drink it and serve it, and then put more cold water in there, and drink it and serve it again, and put more cold water in there. When it stops tasting sour, then I go on to a new batch of the sumac berries. Lab-based studies on rats have shown that sumac berries reduced blood cholesterol, reduced blood sugar levels, and aided in the production of urine while it countered the inflammation of the bladder. In one study, staghorn sumac fruit used along with chemotherapy found that the healthy cells were basically not impacted with the chemotherapy, but that the breast cancer cells were killed. Wow. Sumac is antimicrobial. It has been used as an antiseptic. This has been verified by a German bioscience journal, Zeitschrift für Naturforschung, effective against Aspergillus fungus, which causes very bad lung infections. Another study found that the sumac extract, which is what we're talking about, making just the cold water controls herpes simplex virus, suggesting a strong antiviral activity. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Sumac. If you live in the northeast part of North America or throughout the subtropical or temperate regions elsewhere in the world, it is very likely that there is sumac around you, and it is even possible, yes, even in December, that you could go out and find some sumac berries, because the berries are usually held 6 to 10 feet above the ground, so they are way, way above the snow. What you're not going to find if you go out there is any amla berries. Imbica officinalis is one of the most nutrient-dense medicinal fruits in the world. It is a small deciduous tree native to India and southern China, and it has a yellow kind of fruit or berry, sometimes called a gooseberry. And its word amala, its name, amla, comes from amalaki, which means the sustainer. Wow. Amla is one of the mainstays of the Ayurvedic tradition. It is used in so many ways that I actually have four pages in front of me of uses of amla. Animal studies, inhibits chemically induced cancers, potent cancer preventer. Animal studies, oral ingestion prior to radiation, inhibits radiation sickness. Animal studies, prevents toxicity to sperm from radiation and chemicals. Counters and prevents altitude sickness. Counters anemia. Amla is sacred to Vishnu and Shiva. If you eat the ripe amla for 40 days after a fast, it will restore your vitality. Did I mention that it is sour? Amla is extremely sour. It is somewhat of a wild plant. It's not that bitter, but it is sour. And many people like to make an infusion of amla or take it as a tincture and dilute that infusion down. There's a lot of tannins in amla, and so daily use can bind to minerals, but you're probably not going to be drinking that much of it. That wraps up another show here at HealthyLife.net. That wraps up another year here at HealthyLife.net. Thank you. Thank you for opening your mind, your ears, and your heart to me and to the wise woman way of healing through nourishment and loving kindness. This is Susan Weed, the voice of the wise woman tradition, reminding you that next month we're going to start a whole new year. And during that year, we're going to be looking at the nutrient-dense, nourishing herbal infusions, one of my absolute favorite ways to get the health benefits from plants at the least cost and the least effort. I wish you green blessings until we meet again next month at HealthyLife.net.